Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Write all these books. You're the busiest man in America.
Don't tell anyone, but I use AI. Are we on? Is this live?
This is live. We're doing it live.
Sorry. Strike that from the tape, as Shaq would say.
Yeah. Dump.
Here's kind of what happened. And, you know, the whole Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hour thing from Outliers. There's a certain minimum amount of grinding that you have to do in order to become as good as you're ever going to be at something. I've been for 23 years now creating written content at a breakneck rate because I've had no option but to finish a story, move on to the next one, finish that one, move on to the next one. And I've probably written 25 million words at PFT over the last 23 years. When you look at every day, 500 words here, 700 words there, 300 words here, you know, different posts are different lengths. But when you add it all up, I try to do the math, and it is in the millions, over 20 million easily. You get to the point where you can just write really fast. So when I can take an hour or two in the evening, and my son's grown now, there's nothing I need to do at night. My wife doesn't want to have anything to do with me. We've been married 30 years, you know, so it's not like I'm taking away time that we would otherwise be courting. The courting is long over. I take a couple of hours, and I get to work. And because I can write fast, I can crank out 1,000 to 1,500 words an hour. And, you know, if you enjoy it, which I do, and it's a nice balance to the stuff I do at PFT, 4 years later, I got 10 manuscripts done. And hopefully 4 years from now, I'll have 10 more. My original goal was to do 20. But now that I'm at 10, I'm going to go ahead and try to push it to 30. And eventually it's just, hey, this is what I'm going to do until I can't type anymore, or I can't see anymore, or until, you know, I'm not able to do anything anymore.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Four.
Mike, we were having a little fun with this regarding the grades for the 49ers. They're 4-4. They had their bye week. What would your grade be for Shanahan and Brock Purdy this year?
Well, we did some grades on Sunday night in a podcast that we do during the third quarter of the game. And if you grade in relation to what the expectations were before the season, it's going to be a little more harsh when you had high expectations. I mean, there was talk that this is the year they're finally going to bust through and win the Super Bowl for the first time in 30 years. They've been getting close, yada, yada. So to be where they are through 8 weeks and seven games, and you can say, well, injuries are an issue, but still, it's all a total package. I put them both at a C right now, and I think that's being charitable. in relation to what the preseason expectations were. But again, there's a lot of injuries, and everybody has injuries, but some teams have more than others. And this reminds me a lot of 2020, the year after the Super Bowl loss to the Chiefs the first time. You get a cluster of injuries. You don't have Christian McCaffrey. Receivers start getting hurt. Other guys start getting hurt. The defense is down to basically Nick Bosa and Fred Warner. It's hard to perform at the level that they were expected to perform at. So, see, but hey, it's only midterm. They still got a chance to rally before the finals.
What are you hearing about the 49ers when it comes to the upcoming trade deadline? 4 p.m. East Coast time, Eastern Standard Time, 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Are the Niners in on anything? What are you hearing? What's the latest when it comes to the Niners or trade deadline, Mike?
If they're pursuing anyone, they're keeping it very quiet. Obviously, they're not going to be sellers. They could be buyers. Anybody could be buyers at this point. And when you look at the standings through 9 weeks, the Browns proposed back in March that the trade deadline be pushed back from the Tuesday after week 8 to the Tuesday after week 9, because there's now that extra week in the regular season thanks to the 17th game. When you look at the standings, I mean, 25% of the league has 2 wins. So we're in a unique position where the cream has separated from the crap. And, you know, the 49ers are kind of stuck in the middle right now. But if they could, and I think the smart thing to do is don't be desperate. Don't overpay. Don't mortgage your future in order to add a short-term player now. But if you could swipe someone that addresses an area of need, then you do it. And then there's the other question, too, of how easy or not easy it is to take a player who isn't part of your team and plug him in and get something out of him meaningful. And, you know, there are different positions that are harder than others to come in and make a difference. But I think it makes sense to explore. And, you know, you see the breathless reporting in the run-up to the trade deadline about, oh, teams are talking about this guy, and teams are talking about – they talk about everybody. That's what the general managers do. They call all their colleagues. They talk in hypothetical terms or more concrete terms about who's available and who's not. I presume the 49ers are part of those calls. And if they can do a deal that they feel good about, then, you know, they can do it, because they clearly could use some help, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Is there anything they can do to maybe catch the Lions, who look like they're by far and away the best team in the NFC? Philadelphia may have an argument. The Commanders may have an argument about that. The latest report says the Commanders are in on Marshawn Lattimore from the New Orleans Saints, a corner. That would help their secondary, no doubt about that. But is there anything the Niners can do? Because it does feel like there's a gap between the Lions and Niners, despite what happened in the NFC Championship game a season ago, Mike.
Well, and here's the bottom line. If the 49ers are going to come across the Lions in the postseason again, it's most likely going to happen at Ford Field. They do play late in the regular season, but if there's a postseason rematch, it's not going to be outdoors. It's going to be in Detroit. It's going to be inside, and you're going to have to hope that, you know, let's say the Lions get the bye and you face them in the divisional round. Sometimes that team that had the week off, you catch them flat-footed, and maybe you get lucky and you knock them out because you've been playing. You won the prior weekend in the playoffs. They were sitting at home. They lost a little of their edge. That's a possibility. The biggest threat to the Lions, I believe, we were talking about this on PFT Live today, the biggest threat, and I've said this before about other teams in other divisions in both conferences, a team from your own division rolling into your building in the playoffs, they're not intimidated by you. They come play in that building every single year. They know you better than other teams do, and they would love nothing more than to be the team that kills your special season. So, if I'm the Lions, like, I'm rooting heavily against Packers, Vikings, whenever and wherever I can. I don't want them in the playoff field because I don't want them coming to Ford Field in January. Now, the Lions would say, we don't care, we'll play anybody, and that's part of what makes them special. But still, at the deepest level of their fears, the things that keep them awake at night, it's having the Packers, the Vikings show up in the playoffs.
Do you think it's as simple as CMC comes back and all is well for the Niners, or is it deeper than that?
I think it's deeper than that, but when Christian McCaffrey comes back, it obviously opens up the offense, changes things because of what he can do in the passing game. It will help the passing game overall. It will make the running game a little more dynamic. I think the question is going to be, how much do you use him? Is he going to be on a pitch count? Are they going to be careful with it? This Achilles thing is a concern, and the fact that he's missed half the season underscores how significant it is. So once he starts getting some wear and tear, how's he doing? How's he feeling? Is he willing to admit that, you know, maybe I should go a little easier. Maybe it's causing me discomfort again, and I'm not just going to put my head down and power through it. He's always been that kind of guy. Put your head down and power through it. And that works until it doesn't. And if they want to get the most out of him, and really, I think, get him, you know, win games along the way, but get him ready to be at his peak in the postseason, think of the edge that gives the 49ers. He's going to be a lot fresher when January rolls around than the other players that are going to be out there on the field trying to tackle him. And that could be an edge, an unintended secret weapon for the 49ers, a fresher, relatively speaking, Christian McCaffrey when the playoffs roll around.
You've probably been on the more skeptical side of the 49er quarterbacks over the years, Jimmy and Purdy right now, just in general. Not that you haven't given them their just due. I just think that you've acknowledged some of their shortcomings. How do you view Brock Purdy right now? He's had an up and a little bit down kind of a season right now. He's played now without Brandon Ayuk, without CMC for almost the entire season. How do you assess Brock Purdy?
Well, and look, there's a small handful of truly great quarterbacks in the NFL, and the thing that distinguishes them from me, do you make a big throw in a big spot? And we saw Jimmy Garoppolo miss Emmanuel Sanders when there was still a chance to beat the Chiefs in Super Bowl 54. I think back to Jared Goff pre-Lions. He had Brandon Cooks open. The second time they ran the same play in the game, they ran it in the first half. And he didn't see Brandon Cooks. They ran it in the second half. He saw him late. He threw it behind him. Excuse me. It got broken up. Are you going to make what I call a championship throw? And my concern about Purdy coming into the season, he had said to Mike Silver how he wants to be dominant. And I feel like he was trying to do some hero ball stuff. And we still see flashes of that. Playing within the Shanahan offense. And that's what Kyle Shanahan has always wanted. I remember when the lockout ended in 2011, Rex Grossman, who was with Washington at the time, playing for Shanahan, he was confident he was going to win the starting job. And they're like, why are you so confident? Because I'm going to do exactly what Kyle wants. I'm going to do exactly what he expects. I'm going to run the offense exactly the way he wants it to be run. And I think the more that Brock Purdy does that, it's not going to be spectacular. It's not going to have those moments that make us say, holy crap. But if he just runs the offense the way it's supposed to be run, the theory is it'll work and it'll carry you to victory. And it'll presumably carry you all the way to a Super Bowl. But at some point, it's going to be 3rd and 9. You're going to be down 3 points. The season's going to be on the line. And there's going to be a big play. And the question is, do you make that throw in that spot, extend the drive, and ultimately win the game?
What do you think, like, in terms of money, where do you think he's at financially over these last 9 weeks?
Well, this one is fascinating because he wasn't a first-round pick. And because he's got a low fourth-year salary, it's going to be easier for the 49ers to give him a deal that has a much larger new money average than what the total average will be when the contract is signed. And that's important because we're just talking about total dollars that he's going to eventually get. So I can see him being around 50, even though in new money, even though the contract would be worth a lot less than that. You know, the question is he the guy long-term? And it sure seems like that's what Kyle Shanahan believes. So you make the commitment, you pay the money, you look at the details of the deal to see what the true nature and extent of the commitment is. Most of these deals now are 3 years, some are 2 years, but I suspect he'll do a deal that ties him to the 49ers for 3 more years from their perspective. Obviously, he'll be tied to them longer than that. And then we just see where it goes from here. But this is one of the things of having a quarterback that's doing well. At some point, you got to pay him, and you play it out. If you don't pay him, it goes the Kirk Cousins route, where he finishes his rookie contract, you franchise tag him 1 year, you franchise tag him a second year, and then he walks away into free agency. So that's what they're trying to avoid, and I assume they'll get it all worked out. But we've seen some tough negotiations in the past between the 49ers and some of their players. I have a feeling that won't happen with Brock Purdy, but I could see something coming around 50. And remember this, too. The cap keeps going up. The market keeps going up. 50 is not going to look all that ridiculous sooner rather than later.
Mike, before we let you go, I know you're all over the league stuff and what's happening and the inner workings of the league. Nick Bosa's played phenomenal football over the last month. There's no doubt about that, living up to his contract. But the hat he wore on Sunday Night Football made a lot of rounds, made a lot of news. A lot of people wrote articles about it. What was the the reaction from the league. What did you hear about the reaction from the league when it came to Nick Bosa and wearing the hat? He did address the statements in the post game. He said, hey, look, it's a big time in our lives. Whatever he said, I'm paraphrasing here, but was there any reaction from the league circle, league offices about Nick Bosa wearing the hat that he wore on Sunday Night Football?
Oh, they kept their mouths shut. I emailed them multiple times. And the way that it goes, and this is how they handle me, and I'm sure it's how they handle others. If they don't want to deal with it, they just ignore you. And they force you to remember, on top of everything else you're doing, to ask them again. And, you know, I tried twice with them on this one and then forgot about it. And others had tried as well. They said nothing. And then they selectively leaked to friendly reporters on Friday, late afternoon, East Coast time, that they're reviewing the Nick Bosa hat. And there won't be any decision for, you know, the next several days or whatever. They're trying to kick the can until after the election, because if they had fined him last week, you know that that would have been jammed into the final push, anything and everything, throw out the kitchen sink, anything you can use to try to spark fake outrage, get people motivated to go out and vote. It would have been, oh, look at this. The NFL wants to censor free speech of players. But, you know, and that's not what it's about. It's about following the rules, and the rules make it clear, regardless of what was on that hat. When any political party, any political candidate, any political statement, there are people who actually argue with a straight face that Make America Great Again is not something that supports any particular candidate. People will actually argue that. But I think anybody with a functioning brain knows what that means and who that's for. And whoever would have been supported by any hat that anyone wore breaks the rules and is subject to a fine. Any product, any message, anything, you're breaking the rules and you're subject to a fine. But the NFL wisely waiting until after the election so it doesn't become yet another basis for people to thump their chest and gnash their teeth and clutch their pearls and say, I can't believe they're trying to stifle someone who's just trying to exercise his free speech rights.
Was there any difference in the way this was covered going back to Colin Kaepernick when he did what he did, protesting the national anthem, although he was fighting for social, just police brutality and social justice? Did you see any difference in the way Bosa was covered compared to Colin Kaepernick?
I didn't really notice it, but I didn't pay attention to how others covered it. I mean, I think it was an interesting story because of what the rules say. Now, some people might have been concerned about wading into the morass that you would have if it's perceived that you're anti-MAGA because you dared to cover the story and you dared to point out that wearing that hat violates the rules. And I got a lot of whataboutism directed at me. Well, what about Colin Kaepernick? What about him? He didn't get fined. Well, folks, the rules allowed players who are required to be on the sideline, and the rules still allow players who are required to be on the sideline, they're allowed to not stand for the anthem. They're allowed to take a knee. They're allowed to sit down if they want to. The rules allow it. They tried to change it. They never reached an agreement. The rules still allow it. And Colin Kaepernick did get punished because he ultimately got shunned from the league because he's the one that helped the players recognize, hey, you know what? We've got the power here to protest during the national anthem. He's the one that caused them to realize it, and he paid for it with his career. And look, there's a lot of issues and arguments that goes into who's really at fault here, but clearly he became viewed as an undesirable figure in the NFL by multiple teams, if not all teams, after he did what he did. So there was a price to pay, even though what he did was fully within the rules.
Mike, how does this shake down for the 49ers to end the year here? Do you believe in them to make a deep run and get, let's just say, to an NFC championship game? Or are you out on that?
No, I think they can still make it to the playoffs because they're in a division where the team that's currently in first place is 5-4. So, yes, they can turn it around. They have to stop blowing games that they have in the bag. They need to humble themselves a little bit. They need to view each game as a game that has significant postseason ramifications. And then once you get into the playoffs, all that goes away. All that matters at that point is, what's your spot on the playoff tree? And even then, who cares? We're in. You know what our mandate is? Win. Mm-hmm. Win or go home. And if they can get to the postseason, all the stuff, all the struggles, I mean, you know, I've been doing this long enough that I can palpably sense it. When you turn the page on the end of the regular season, it just feels different. Everything feels different. And you forget about week one through week 18. And it all comes down to, what are you going to do in the 60 minutes that you have available to you? You're going to have a good day. You're going to have a bad day. You're going to show up. Are you going to fight through adversity? Are you going to make the plays when the plays are necessary? And are you going to advance to the next round? And if they get in, they have enough playoff experience that they could be a team that gets hot and gets dangerous, especially if they're healthy.
No doubt about that. Mike, you're always good to us, man. Father of mine and son of mine, available right now on Amazon. I hear you got a third book coming out. Keep up the great work at PFT, man. We always love talking to you, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
Anytime. Mike Florio here on the Morning Roast, courtesy of the River Islands Gas Line. A lot there with the 49ers, man, as they make this second half push.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.